covering the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. Let's go up to Indy. Let's get Chris Lowe in here.
Get the lowdown from the low.
ESPN.com. Hey, Chris.
What are we missing?
Well, before we get to Georgia, Alabama, there was this little thing that happened on Saturday down on the Bayou, and that's Ron Slay on the Vol Network with Bob Kessling, and he crushed it.
Well, but here's the one thing he didn't do. He couldn't go out and shoot for the Vols. Maybe if they would have actually shoot, it better.
It's a different day and age,
aggressive
bro.
Underneath there.
Maybe get some paint points in the paint sleigh or something going to the rim, man. They could. I've heard nothing but rave reviews performance on the air, but boy, the team could have used it.
Well, he also could have told the New York story. Bob Kessler would have had fun with that one.
Trying to deal with this.
You met curfew Friday, Slade. You meet curfew on Friday night?
No, see, that was the thing. I left Saturday morning. I said, nope, they ain't going to get me like that. I've been down that road before. You go the same day.
Rick Ford knocking on your door. Yeah. Slay in here.
And Rick would do it, too. That's the crazy man.
All right, what's the vibe like in Indy? What kind of – is it 50-50, Bama fan, Georgia fan? What are you seeing up there?
You know, I'm always hesitant to say because it depends on what hotel you're in sometimes. It seems like I've seen more Georgia fans than I have Alabama fans. But, you know, I definitely thought there were more Georgia fans in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. We'll see here tonight. You know, once the stadium starts to fill in, and you see what it looks like. You got a better feel, but I don't think either if it's 60-40 or whatever it is, I don't think that's going to have a big impact on the game.
No, I agree with you. So here we are with another rematch in the college football championship game. What do you think about this? Because I'm on Georgia on this game, but people keep coming at me from the Bama side, and rightfully so. Don't bet against Nick Saban. You know better than that. That you know we've seen this before. In fact, we saw this matchup a couple of weeks ago. How do you break down this second matchup based on that 17-point win from Alabama in the SEC championship game?
Well, so, you know, it's hard to – when you start talking about rematches, you know, you don't get a lot of those in football, at least in college football. Very rarely do you. So it's just – I think, A, that was a month ago. Bama's – backs were absolutely against the wall. They had to win that game to get into the playoff.
Right.
Georgia was going to get in regardless, which they did. So I think that's one part of the equation. The second part is, see, I think it works. If this game is a second-half game and it's a close game with 3 or 4 minutes to play in the third quarter, then I think that really starts to work to Alabama's advantage. Because if you're Georgia, then you start thinking, all right, here we go again. You know, here these guys are right here. We haven't been able to sort of master – Alabama. Georgia has not played well against Alabama the last few times they played them. And I think that even though some of these players weren't around for when they played, most of them weren't around for when they played 17, but they certainly were around a month ago. I think the mental part starts to work in. I do think, though, with Georgia obviously being motivated, their pride was bruised to get beat up like that, they're going to come out ready to knock Alabama in the face, ready to punch him in the face. And how does Alabama respond? If they do that and they don't knock Alabama out early, then again, you sort of wonder how this game goes from there. Bama's got the two best players on the field, Will Anderson Jr. and Bryce Sherman, the two best players. Georgia's got the best unit on the field. Their front seven's better than any other unit in the game. So to me, it comes down pretty simply to this. Can Alabama play as well in the offensive line and protect Bryce Young the way they did the first game and give him a chance to throw the football, give him clean pockets, even without John Metchie? I think if they do that, Georgia is average enough that Bama can exploit them in the secondary.
At CeeLo ESPN is the Twitter handle. I totally agree. And Bama found something offensively where Georgia's big, talented defensive tackles just got gassed. Because Alabama was running the hurry-up offense, and they couldn't get those guys off the field. Is there a plan in place for that to not happen from a Georgia perspective again? Like, I was at the Ole Miss-Tennessee game and sitting behind the Ole Miss bench, and Lane Kiffin often had 2, 3, 4 defensive guys standing on the sideline next to the defensive coaches, and when the play was over, they would go sprinting out onto the field. I think that's one of the things that Alabama exploited that Georgia hadn't seen all year.
Yeah. Well, and they're going to have to because you're right. In the second half, Georgia was gassed. I mean, I thought you saw conditioning in that first game play a big role. I thought Alabama was the better conditioned team, and part of that was the tempo that Alabama played with in the first half. It really took guys like Jordan Davis out of the game. He was a non-factor in the second half. He just was able to play. He wasn't in good enough shape to play, and I think he's even come out and said that now. So we'll see here, what, 35 days later, you know, how that has changed. But you know Bama's going to try to hit tempo again. Because Georgia is so deep in their front seven. We talk about Jordan Davis. We talk about N'Kobe Dean. You know, Jalen Carter doesn't even start sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. He's one of their best defensive linemen. So if they can get it to where Bama's not able to sort of get in that rhythm and going fast, then I think Georgia's depth starts to play a big factor, certainly to get into the second half. But, you know, Bama gets them on their heels like they did the last time, you know, bam, 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 tempo, 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 then I don't think that's good news for the Dawgs.
If this game is close late, Chris, could we see a pucker factor on the Georgia side?
Well, that's what I said earlier. I mean, I think the longer this game sort of – you get late into the third, into the fourth quarter, Bama's ahead, it's anybody's game. I don't care what anybody says. You know that's got to start working on whether it's Kirby Smart, whether it's his assistant, certainly the players on that field. It's just human nature. You're like, all right, we just haven't been able to get over the hump with these guys. Even when we've had them, you know, you go back to the 18 SEC championship game, Georgia had them dead to right in that game. Jalen Hurts comes off the bench and beats them. So I think those type things absolutely become a factor. I think Georgia's best route to win this game, even though they got up 10-0 early last game, is to get out early and really hit them in the face, get up a couple touchdowns, get up 10 points, whatever, and then sort of keep that, you know, your foot on the gas pedal and see if you can get Alabama sort of out of its rhythm, out of its comfort zone. Because that never happened the last game. Even though they got down 10-0, you didn't see a lot of panic in Alabama. And that's the thing about Bryce Young, man. I don't know that I've seen a true sophomore in his first year as a starter any steadier, any more calm. I mean, there's nothing seems to bother the guy. He's just, I don't care if he's just on a pick, which he only threw, I think, four or five all year, or he gets sacked, he gets his bell rung. Or whether he throws a touchdown pass, he's always the same guy. And that demeanor has really started to spread among the Alabama offense.
Chris Lowe with us live in Indianapolis. Real quick, the college football playoff committee trying to figure out what they're going to do long range, big picture. Does it go to 12? Is that where we're headed? I saw Greg Sankey said it feels like they're in overtime and they've gone for two nine times.
Yeah, I saw Greg at the hotel earlier. I think they're going to kick the can back down the road, and they've got to make a decision pretty quickly. And clearly there's not a unanimous feel right now among the commissioners, among the people who are voting, and it's got to be unanimous if you're going to change this playoff before 26. I think if they don't do something here in the next week or so, you're going to see it before the next 4 years until the contract is up, and then in 26 – will be the first time. But you've got a lot of conferences looking out for themselves. SEC and Greg Sankey are fine keeping it right where it is. Because, oh, by the way, two SEC teams are playing here in the Big Ten footprint for the national championship. Or if they go to 12, I think he's fine with going to 12. But what he doesn't want, what the SEC doesn't want, is automatic qualifier status for all Power 5 teams just right. Because you win the championship. I think the ACC probably and the Big Ten probably feel – more like 8 is the number. But they're going to continue, I think, at the end of the day, to kick this thing down the can down the road. I just don't think they are going to be able to come to any kind of consensus.
Great stuff, brother. Appreciate you. We'll be watching, and we'll be reading ESPN.com. Thank you, Chris.
Here we go.
All right. See you guys.